You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time. Time for another episode of Locked On Kings.
Kings lose again, and they do so in a fashion that doesn't surprise anybody. The continuation of a frustrating pattern where the Kings will put together a pretty solid first half, only down by 5 points at halftime, and the third quarter, it all comes crashing down. The good news is my three goals, for the most part, were met in last night's game, so there's some positives to take out of it, but overall, the Kings have lost 9 of their last 11. Luke Walton, De'Aaron Fox, Tyrese Haliburton, and the rest of the Kings that we spoke with after the game were visibly frustrated. And on today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast, I'm going to be joined by Sacramento Kings beat writer for the Sacramento Bee, Jason Anderson, who, like me, is in all those press conferences, is at the post-practice media sessions. His thumb is firmly on the pulse of Sacramento Kings basketball, and he and I will discuss the horrific Kings defense, potential trades, what Monty McNair might want to do, and whether or not Luke Walton's seat is getting hot. It's all on today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast. Hello and welcome to Locked On Kings, your podcast hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season and all offseason. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with local and national experts, full coverage of the Sacramento Kings from January through December, this is the place for you, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I've been a Sacramento sports radio host for the last 6 years. This is season number 7 for me, covering the Kings both as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist. And today I'm very much looking forward to speaking with Jason Anderson. Before we get to that, though, I will touch briefly on the Kings' 115-96 loss to the Clippers last night. Like I said in the intro, Kings were only down by 5 at halftime. They put together a really solid first half, corrected a lot of mistakes, really met one of my goals from the very beginning of this game, but a 34-19 third quarter was all she wrote. The Clippers pulled away. The Kings never really had a chance to get back into the game, and the fact that every single one of us watching, all Kings fans, not only were not surprised by that third quarter, basically we all could have predicted that was going to happen. That tells you all really you need to know. But I did have 3 goals for the Sacramento Kings heading into this game. I did not expect a win. In fact, I expected a double-digit loss, and we got one. But out of my 3 goals, the Kings met 2.5 of them. Goal number 1 was end the streak of 30-plus point quarters given up. Coming into that game, the Kings had allowed 12 straight quarters with 30 or more points. The Kings ended that in the first quarter, allowing only 25 points from the Clippers, but then followed it up with a 36-point second quarter and a 34-point third quarter. Now, they did hold the Clippers to just 20 points in the fourth quarter, so I guess there's a positive in 2 quarters under 30 points, which the Kings hadn't done since their win over the Indiana Pacers. But still, allowing 70 points in the second and third quarter combined, still not good enough defensively. Goal number 2 was to hold the Clippers under 120 points. They did that. They held the Clippers to only 115. They still only scored 96 themselves and lost. Goal number 3 was a 2-parter. 1, hold the Clippers to under 50% shooting from the field. They did that. The Clippers shot 47.7%. Still too high, but at least it's under 50. My other goal was to hold the Clippers under 45% shooting from 3-point range. The Clippers shot 45.7%. So out of those 3 goals, the Kings met 2.5 of them and still lost by 19 points. Maybe my bar is way too low. Rather than blab on and on by myself and repeat myself and say the same things when it comes to these repeating Sacramento Kings problems, why don't I have a conversation with Jason Anderson from the Sacramento Bee? It's been a while since I've had the pleasure of having Jason Anderson on the Locked On Kings podcast with me, but he is back. Of course, Sacramento Kings beat writer for the Sacramento Bee here in the California Capital. Jason does a wonderful job covering the Sacramento Kings, has for the last couple of years, very well plugged into this organization. We'll be able to provide some excellent insight here for our podcast listeners. Jason, welcome in, my friend. It's so good to talk to you. Hope you are doing well, all things considered. It's been good to see you from afar at the Golden One Center at a few games so far this season. Hope you're doing well.
Thanks, Matt. Happy to be here, buddy. Thanks for having me.
So let's just talk about the mood after last night's game. Another loss where it's a continuation of a frustrating pattern for the Sacramento Kings, where they put together a strong first half. They're competitive, only down by 5 points at halftime. And the third quarter goes about as well as everybody expected. The Kings just can't match the physicality that the Clippers come out in that third quarter with. They just don't look ready. They don't look prepared. And as Luke Walton said after the game, they get into a small lapse and suddenly it turns into an 8-0 Clipper run, and that 5-point deficit turns into a 12, 13, 14, 15-point deficit in a hurry. After last night's game, that was as frustrated as I think I've seen Luke Walton. At least he usually is pretty calm, collected. He keeps those emotions in. He's pretty straightforward when we talk to him. But you could see the frustrations and hear the frustrations in his voice when he's talking about missing opportunities to learn and to grow, making the same mistakes over and over again. Did you sense that as well?
Yeah, certainly. I would agree that's as frustrated as we've seen Luke, I think since he got here, and I think that was, that showed up in some of the players as well. We spoke to De'Aaron and Tyrese and, Marvin and Glenn, and, to varying degrees, you could really sense the frustration in all of them.
Based off your understanding of just the entire situation, do you think that frustration comes from mainly the Kings continuing to hit their head against the same wall and make the same mistakes over and over again? Or do you think Walton is feeling a little bit of pressure? Maybe the seat is getting hotter and hotter as the defense gets worse and it's already historically bad and the issues aren't being corrected?
Yeah, I think that there's certainly an element to that. As far as the players go, I think there's a frustration that, you know, they just can't stop anybody. You know, I think they're physically overmatched on a night-to-night basis. Lucas talked about it. The Clippers are a glaring example of this, and Lucas talked about that look, these are grown men. These are all-stars. These are MVP-type players over there, and at this point where the Kings are, they're just not equipped to match up with those guys, unfortunately. They're younger, they're less experienced, less accomplished, less of that big game experience. And, you add all of those up and you just kind of got a team that's physically overmatched right now. And then with Luke, yeah, I mean, you know, the hot seat question, yeah, it's real. I mean, there's going to come a point here where Monty has to make a decision, and I think my perception of Monty is that I think he's working from a position of patience, maybe more so than some in ownership and certainly much of the fan base. Monty doesn't see this as a situation that, you know, where Monty's not in a hurry to get into the playoffs this year, not if it means compromising future prosperity and flexibility. So he's got a longer-term vision here. I think he's working on a timeline of about 2 to 4 years. And this is what it looks like to me. It looks like a soft rebuild, 2 to 4 years. You get younger, you build around Fox and Halliburton and see what else you have. I think that patience buys Luke some time, but that could change if the team doesn't compete. I mean, if you just keep having blowout losses and you're giving up 130 a night, and things just pile up too much, that might hasten Monty's move a little bit. I wrote about this in my mailbag today at sacb.com. It's in print today, and there's a little bit more of an explanation in the online version just because I kind of ran out of time for print yesterday. But I would encourage people to give that a look. I try to be fair to Luke. I think that people overlook some of the good qualities in him just because, you know, his teams haven't done well. And really he's encountered so much difficulty, both with the Lakers and now again with the Kings, where similar sort of disasters have played out with these legacy characters in the organization. The infighting, people coming and going. I mean, it just, he's really had a lot to deal with in his two stops. And I think, you know, I think he's been extremely professional. I know he tries to be even keel, and I think to his credit, he has been. I don't think that, I think there's a balance in how you handle the players on this roster, given their age and given where the Kings are in terms of developing this roster. And I think he's trying to walk that line. But the pressure on the other side is probably mounting to some extent. And you know, I think they need to see what they can do to resolve some of these issues as quickly as they can. Unfortunately, I just don't know that they're built for it right now.
Today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes like Fiat, Kia, and models, Pacifica, XT5, it is now impossible to stock all of the parts that you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning like, is your Odyssey an LX or an EX? I don't even know what that means. And why wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing only the brand that his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than the changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. You can get the exact parts that you need at the click of a button. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
I actually agree completely with your assessment of Luke Walton. I'm more of a fan of Luke Walton than the vocal Sacramento Kings fan contingency is on social media. And look, I'm aware that head coaches in the modern NBA are more of the fall guys than players typically are, because it's easier to get rid of one in a coaching staff than it is to completely shake up an entire roster. But I agree with you. I think Luke Walton does have qualities and has provided some good stability and some good lessons and some good messages here in Sacramento that at times when the Kings were successful were overlooked when fans choose to kind of harp on the bad and harp on the negative. But you mentioned the patience of Monty McNair potentially playing in Walton's favor. And typically when you see a new general manager come in, the head coach that is there, their days are typically numbered. But the Kings are in a situation, as is every team in the NBA right now, because of COVID-19 and the financial impacts. I mean, Walton is just in year two of a four-year contract, and the Kings are no strangers, as you know, Jason, to paying out coaching contracts over the course of many years, even though there are multiple coaches on their payroll. Do you think that is also working in the favor of Luke Walton? Do you think, or do you believe, Monty McNair would have the freedom to move on from Walton financially and bring in his own guy? Or are they kind of financially tied into having to just keep Walton and try and see out as much of his contract as they can?
You know, I don't know. I think that at some point, I think that in the short term, that's a factor. I don't think they wanted to replace a coach going into this season. I know that Luke was assured privately as well as publicly that he would remain in place. You know, that was something that was discussed in the process with potential general managers. And so, I think that there was some time for Luke built in to this process.
Yeah.
And, you know, as we get into this year, though, you know, I think now is too soon. Unless the recent streak of just getting killed every night, it continues. I don't know that now is the right time. The way I look at this is that Monty, the big word Monty has used over and over again is flexibility, right? So he wants to maintain flexibility, and that, you know, that you can apply that mostly to the roster. But I think you can also apply it to Luke's situation as well. And that, if Monty makes a move now, if he lets Luke go now, he potentially loses some flexibility down the road when he can make a more informed decision, after he sees how the players respond to Luke in these situations, whether Luke can get more out of them. We forget last year this team was surging before the coronavirus shut down. They had won 13 out of 20 despite numerous injuries to some of their top guys. And yet through all of that, and even with Marvin out at the time, they managed to go on a run. And I think if that 82-game season had played out without interruption, that they had as good a chance as anybody, I think, to make the playoffs based on the remaining schedules and the way they were playing at the time. So there was progress just last year with some of this same group. But now you're playing Marvin. Frankly, I think that has set them back this year. I mean, you want to get the most out of Marvin. You want him to reach his potential, and he has certainly made strides recently. But it creates some of these defensive lapses, and you've got guys trying to cover for each other, and you just can't cover for, if you've got three or four or even five subpar defenders on the floor, there's just nowhere to go for help, and there's nowhere to hide. So I've got some numbers on that kind of stuff we can get into if you want to, but they just have to get better defensively. And, I think that's going to be something Monty's looking at at Luke, and whether he can actually make some of these adjustments and put guys in positions to get some stops, because they're not going anywhere until they figure out how to guard people.
Yeah, and let's dive into that. I'm fascinated to hear some of these numbers that you've come up with, because all the numbers that we've seen have just been atrociously bad. Like the margin of loss for the Sacramento Kings has been around 17 points, which is significant. In all the games they're losing, they're typically losing big. We know in terms of defensive rating, the Kings have one of the worst, if not the worst, defensive ratings in the history of the NBA, at least statistically recorded. So there are a lot of numbers that are not in the favor of the Sacramento Kings defensively. But I also wanted to ask you, Jason, where are you at with the handling of blame? Or maybe blame's not the right word. Maybe accountability is better. Because on one hand, it's on the players to go out there and execute the scheme and the game plan. And I've been happy to hear the players at least saying the right thing, saying, no, it's on us. Tyrese Haliburton said it the other night. No, we don't think it's a scheme problem. It's just us going out there and executing. And ultimately, it's the Kings players that keep getting blown by on defense and can't stay in front of their man. But on the other hand, I asked Coach Walton about how much blame or responsibility he takes for the fact that we're consistently seeing teams, and this goes back to last season, making halftime adjustments that the Kings just don't seem prepared for, or there's a lack of adjustments from the Kings themselves to where it almost looks like they're hoping, okay, we're just going to do the same thing for the second half that we did in the first half, and maybe it'll work out. I wonder how much of that goes on Luke Walton and the coaching staff. Where are you at with that? Is it a delicate balance, or do you put more accountability or blame on one over the other?
I'm going to side with the players here, and that they say it's on them. They say that the schemes are fine. I've asked for 2 years now, like, hey, is this stuff complicated? Like, what they're asking you to do, is it difficult to grasp or comprehend? And the answer is always no. This is, he's not asking a lot from them in terms of, the degree of difficulty. I think it's on the players. Coaching always is a factor, but look, they've got Luke. They've got Alvin Gentry now on the offensive side. They've got Rex Kolamian on the defensive side. We know the players are engaged with these coaches and have talked about how they've had these discussions and learned things from them. You know, they've just got to be able to apply it. And I think, you know, I think part of the problem with this group is just the way they're built physically. You know, Fox is kind of a slightly built point guard. You could say the same about Rashawn at the center spot. Ty is, you know, certainly still growing into his body. Buddy can run all day, but he's not the most twitchy athlete, you know, so I just think that each of them has, you know, a physical limitation, and that shows up in some of the numbers I mentioned a minute ago, which are, you know, which are not good either. But if you look at it, you can look at scoring by position, and it tells a story right now that I think the Kings have to be worried about. And I think they have been worried about this since, you know, going back to last year and maybe even Dave Yeager's final year. But, you know, the worst of these, this breakdown, all the center and power forward positions, you know, they're faring okay. Opponents are 18th in the league in scoring at the power forward and center spots. They're 11th at small forward. Although the shooting percentages, they're really high. If you look, though, at the point guard and the shooting guard spots, the Kings are 26th in the league in opponent scoring at the point guard position. It's 26.8 points per game. And then shooting guard, they're 30th. Opposing shooting guards are absolutely killing the Kings. The Kings are 30th in this department. They're giving up 32.3 points a game. At that position, 50% shooting, 41.5% shooting from three. And, you know, this is the bench and it's the starters. The starters are giving up over 84 points a game. They're last in the league. The opponents are shooting 50% against them. And opponents are shooting 49.3% from the field and over 47.3% from three-point range against the Kings bench. So they're just not getting it done anywhere. And, you know, I don't know, you know, Hassan has been out. I think he adds an element of size he's the only real defensive presence they have right now, I think, you know, and you get it in spots from other guys. I don't want to discount the effort that we are seeing from guys like Fox and Buddy and Bagley and Rashawn and Harrison. But you know, right now it's just not enough for them. These numbers are atrocious. As you said, it's kind of staggering, you know, and that it could get this bad. And I think the way I look at that, they can't have a collection of 17 of the worst defenders in the NBA. I don't buy that, but I think there's a kind of a rising tide lifts all boats effect, where if you've got, you know, if they've got three or four good defenders on this team, or even, you know, they probably settle for two right now. But if you had a few good defenders on this team, I think it would make everybody else around them look better. But the fact is right now you've got a bunch of subpar defenders who are maybe physically, you know, not built for some of these matchups, and, you know, they're just getting exposed.
I've actually been pleased, and you mentioned this, with the effort that Buddy Hield has been putting in on both ends of the floor, but especially on the defensive end. It seems like he's trying to communicate more. He's trying to be more aggressive. Sometimes that results in maybe sloppy or scrambly closeouts that leads to him getting blown by relatively easily. We saw that at the end of the New Orleans Pelicans game when the Kings desperately needed a stop that resulted in Steven Adams getting to the free throw line. But naturally, when you see the shooting guard position is last in the league, 30th in the league in getting scored on, or 30th in the league defensively, a lot of that blame is going to go to Buddy Hield. And I certainly don't put all of it on his shoulders. That is something that he faced last season. We know how he responded to that. He's clearly trying to separate himself from that, which I applaud him for. But in your mind,
Are we getting close to, or is Luke Walton going to be forced to make some kind of change, like, for example, replacing Buddy Hield in the starting lineup with Tyrese Haliburton? I've talked a lot about that on this podcast, taking away kind of the leader of your bench unit and putting him into the starting lineup. Of course, there's been debates through different coaches here in Sacramento of whether or not Buddy Hield is better coming off the bench or in the starting lineup. We don't know how Buddy would handle that, for lack of a better term, demotion. Where are you at with that? Do you think now's the time to really consider moving Tyrese in and Buddy out?
I'm sure they're talking about it. Luke has mentioned in the past that that the coaches have discussed lineup changes. It would stand to reason that they're probably looking at shooting guard and maybe at one point they were looking at Marvin's position before, you know, the last week or so that they started to see some things they liked. So, yeah, certainly that's going to be on the table. I don't know that that's ideal for this team, given that you don't know what Buddy's future holds. And if the defensive questions about this backcourt are this alarming, I don't know that you can win. You know, I've kind of been asking myself this question in my head is, can you win with the Fox and Buddy backcourt? Mm. And certainly offensively, I think you can be prolific, but defensively, I don't know that you can build a winning team with that backcourt. And so, you know, the Kings have to be looking at their options there, whether that, I think they came into the season very open to the idea of Buddy showing how he fits and becoming, or continuing to be part of the long-term plan. But, you know, we all know trades are possibilities. With Buddy, that's certainly something that could happen. And, if you have to go and do what you did last year and move him to the bench, you do risk all the kind of in-house problems with that. But you also create or accentuate, you know, a perception of Buddy, and I think that could affect his market value. So I don't know if the Kings want to do that, but if this continues, they certainly might have to.
I hope you made some money last night on betonline.ag, the official sports gambling partner of the Locked On Podcast Network. With all the NBA games going on, the NFL playoffs, soccer as well, baseball on the horizon, betonline.ag is the one place that has you covered and the one place we trust for online sports gambling. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. And maybe you followed my advice last night. Now, I shared with you that I wasn't touching that Kings and Clippers line, but if I was to touch it, I would have taken the Clippers -9.5. If I had, I would have won some money. If you took my advice and bet on the Clippers -9.5, congratulations. Hopefully you cashed in. Whether you cashed in on other games, let me know what kind of success you've had on betonline.ag. You're not going to get better odds. You're not going to get better lines anywhere else. So if you've cashed in, let me know at Matt George Radio on Twitter or email me mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. I'd love to hear some of your results. Just don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. We'll wrap up with this. You mentioned the trades. It's exactly what I wanted to ask you about. Kind of a two-part question. I would love to get what Jason Anderson would do if he were the general manager of the Sacramento Kings, and then what you believe Monty McNair will do or what he will consider when it comes to approaching the trade deadline or maybe even sooner than that. Buddy Hield's contract, Harrison Barnes's contract. Now, Harrison has been having a phenomenal season. With the exception of the last couple of games, he's kind of come crashing back down to earth a little bit. But both those contracts might not be the easiest to move, but the Kings could potentially get some halfway decent value for both of those players for maybe a contending team that needs an extra shooting boost or needs some small forward or power forward depth. What would Jason Anderson do trying to move on from those guys? Would you keep them and try and make it work or look to make a deal? And where do you think Monty McNair is leaning just based off of your read of the situation?
I think that Monty is, I'm going to go back to that word flexibility. Yep. And I don't think that Monty is locked in on, I don't think he's locked in on stay the course, and I don't think he's fixated on a hard, long rebuild. What I think he wants to do is, I think he wants to have enough talent that if an opportunity arises, he wants to have the pieces, the assets, the talent, that if the opportunity arises and there's something out there that he can make a move for, he has the pieces to make the deal and he can get it done. So, you know, we might, I think this is probably, like I said earlier, a multi-year process, 2 years, 3 years, you know, maybe into the fourth year. I do think there's going to be some roster turnover, quite a bit probably this year. You know, if this team is not going to be competitive and not going to be in contention, I think you look at all the vets on the team. I think, you know, you mentioned some of these guys. I think, you know, Harrison certainly has value. Belly, I think, should have some value. Corey Joseph is a respected, valued guy in the league. You know, they have some veteran pieces that that they can move that would be able to help teams that are looking to add some depth for a playoff run. And so, you know, I think Monty's going to be looking at those things. I don't think he's married to any one idea. You know, I think that he's open-minded to all of this stuff. He's talked about, you know, just being ready for when the opportunity comes. So I think he wants to be in that position. He has some, he's got his whole treasure chest there as far as draft picks go. He has a mix of young players and veteran guys, guys who are a part of this future, guys who are, or most certainly not. And so he's gonna look at all of that and he's going to see what's out there. And, you know, and he's going to try to make the best of it. That's probably what I would do. If the other question is, what would I do? That I think that's how I would play it too. If you want to get better as a team, at some point, you've got to start getting better at specific positions, right? So the move with Bogdan, a little bit controversial around here, but Monty wanted that flexibility. And I think he recognized the need to get better, bigger, longer, more athletic. Those are the kinds of things that I think he wants to go for in addition to getting younger over the next year or so.
Well, Jason, you already mentioned your mailbag. I know my subscription for the Sacramento Bee is an absolute steal of a deal. What kind of deals are going on with the Sacramento Bee? What else are you working on? Any other kind of work that Locked On Kings listeners can expect? And what kind of coverage, I guess, overall that you provide for these Sacramento Kings?
Well, we're grinding here pretty much 24/7. I mean, I try to sleep, you know, for a few hours a night, but it, you know, it, that then there's a text or a phone call or an email, you know, first thing in the morning and you're right back on the grind. So, you know, this is, I would just say to people, get that SACB subscription. We offer the sports pass. I don't have the information right in front of me, but I can share that link on Twitter. It's a great deal. It's like, you know, it's $2 a month or something like that. And you get all our coverage of the Kings, the Niners, all the preps, colleges, lots of good stuff. It's all there. And we don't stop here, man. If there's news on the Kings, we're going to get it up as soon as possible. And we're always looking at, you know, deep dive stuff, whether it's in the mailbag or, you know, I think it's going to be really interesting to watch the growth of these players and the development. I've got a piece that'll, you know, I'll probably get to in the next few days on Marvin and some of what he's gone through. You know, it's a tough time for this team, but it's an incredibly interesting time for this team. And in some ways it's just as important as when things are going well, because you've got to make big decisions and you've got to get those decisions right. If you want to right the ship. And so this is all important stuff. It's all interesting stuff. If you're into the Kings, we got you covered. Come give us a read.
Yeah, in my opinion, the sports pass for Sac B is must-have, not just for a Sacramento Kings fan, but just a fan of California and specifically Northern California sports. And then you can follow Jason Anderson on Twitter. If you're on Twitter, you need to follow him if you're not on already, at JAndersonSacB. He'll provide all the fantastic updates and coverage that he always does for your Sacramento Kings around the clock. Jason, it's a pleasure having you back on. I look forward to doing it again, hopefully very, very soon. I look forward to seeing you again at the Golden One Center in the near future. And hey, one day we'll be covering a winning team and it'll all be worth it. I'm sure the fans are waiting for that day, but so are us media members, man. It's a lot more fun to write about winning than it is about losing, as you know.
Yeah, well, it'll a lot of us were here 20 years ago when that happened, and it the city is just waiting to explode, and I look forward to that day. It should be fun.
Huge thank you to Jason Anderson for joining me on today's Locked On Kings podcast. If you want to respond to anything that we talked about, please do so on Twitter. At Matt George Radio is where you can find me. Like I said, at JAndersonSacB is where you can find Jason on Twitter. And email me as well, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. If you're not on Twitter or want to have a more private conversation, also my DMs are open on Twitter, even if we don't follow each other. So please reach out. I would love to get into a conversation with you there. A little bit of news in regards to the Sacramento Kings. Their two meetings coming up this weekend, Sunday's game and Monday's game in Memphis against the Grizzlies, both have been postponed as due to contact tracing. The NBA is erring on the side of caution because of COVID-19 with the Memphis Grizzlies. Now, as far as we know, this has nothing to do with the Sacramento Kings. Nobody on the Kings has come into contact with anybody who has tested positive for COVID-19. Again, as far as we know, nobody has shown any symptoms or anything like that. Also, if you haven't been following the Nemanja Bjelica situation, the reason why he hasn't been playing has nothing to do with COVID-19. It's been a personal issue that Luke Walton wouldn't tell us anything more than that. But it doesn't have anything to do with him being benched or punished or anything, and the personal issue isn't between Belly and the Sacramento Kings, from what we can tell. But I bring both of those separate issues up to emphasize the fact that they are separate. They're not correlated, and the Kings not playing these two games in Memphis this weekend, again, as far as we know, have nothing to do with the Kings testing positive for COVID-19 or any contact tracing having to do with Sacramento. The Kings still will host the New York Knicks tomorrow night, and before that game, I'm expected to be joined by the one and only Katie Hunter. You may know her as Katie Christensen, former WNBA player and longtime sideline reporter and TV host for the Sacramento Kings. She will join me, or is expected to join me at least, on tomorrow's Locked On Kings podcast, so I hope you will join us for that. Until then, please stay safe, stay healthy, and I will talk to you very soon. My name is Matt George. You have been listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.